Hello, everybody. This is the takeover. Eddie's not here, so I'm in the driver's seat. Matt's my passenger, my co-pilot, and then we got Charles. So hello, everybody. It's Zarina Harris. Welcome to Monday night webinar, Performing Notes. We've got some stuff to cover for you guys tonight, and nobody else was available, so you got the booby prize here. So I'll try to do the best I can. We'll try to get through the questions. What's that?
We're glad to have you, Zarina.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I like your little recording. You look like a movie star back there in your recording studio
I'm
there.
getting it together. It's gonna be cool. I'll send you guys some photos.
We hope we see you on more of these webinars. So we appreciate you joining
I plan on
us.
being on more of them. Yeah, now I'm back up in Ohio now, so I'm putting my studio together and all that stuff. So I'll be on and having fun and making weird faces and commentary and stuff like that, so we'll see.
We're good. We're glad to have you back on here.
Cool. All
All
right.
righty, match.
All right, so we have a couple questions, so I'll go ahead and bring in Mark for the first one. And I think Mark and Deborah, but let me just see if Mark is available. So Mark, you are unmuted if you want to go ahead.
Hello, Zarina. Welcome. Nice to
Hey.
have you.
Yeah.
How
Old
you
stomping
doing?
grounds. I'm doing good. Doing good.
Hey, we have a note that we're getting ready to buy from Colonial, and we're having a little trouble understanding the land contract and how it relates to the note and mortgage.
Okay.
Okay.
Charles, you
So
explained
this
it to
is
us, and I had it for a minute, and then started asking questions to other people and got all confused again.
Okay.
Okay, not a problem, Mark.
Is
So,
Deborah on? Did you unmute Deborah too?
Clemen.
Deborah?
Hi, guys. Hi, Zarina.
There she is. Hi.
Hi, good to see your smiling face.
Thank you.
Hi, Deborah. Good evening.
Hey, Charles. Thanks for talking with us.
Anytime. So you're getting ready to purchase a land contract. The land contract, does it have a note built in the land contract?
The land contract says that there was a note and mortgage to be executed at the same time as the land contract was signed. On page
Interesting.
two, it says that the buyer will execute and deliver a promissory note in favor of the seller. And it says it again
Okay.
on page five.
Is that after the
Number 19.
probationary period, Mark?
No, it says that it will be done at the time. Matt, if you go to page five, letter D, it says the buyer will execute the note and mortgage on or before the date of close of escrow. And that is the date that the original land contract was signed.
Okay, so some of these
Interesting.
land contracts, and just depending on which company created them, and these are companies we've bought a lot of land contracts from, some of them will create the notes and mortgages, but a lot of these land contracts call for a 2-year probationary period. I'd have to go back, Mark, on if we'd
Yeah,
have to look at this and
it
see.
does mention the probationary period, but
Okay.
said
Well, what most of these sellers did is they created the land contract. They didn't create a note mortgage. So it's an unrecorded land contract. And so if there's no note in mortgage, at some point you can convert it to a note mortgage. Again, land contracts read differently, so I'd have to read through it. But this particular one doesn't have a note incorporated with the land contract. So I don't think the note mortgage was ever created on this. So
Charles, I believe that's the problem. I think that most of the land contracts we've seen give the option of converting to a note mortgage. I believe this one kind of implies that it will be done.
Right. Well, they yes. And typically, a lot of times the verbiage is upon the borrower's request. You know, if they want to convert it to a note mortgage, then you'll convert it to a note mortgage. If the borrower has not requested it, most of our land contracts that are past the 2-year probationary period, the majority of them have not been converted to notes and mortgages. Now, this one, this particular one here, I believe, doesn't come, the two-year probation's not up till October, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So, yeah, so if it come October, has the borrower made all their payments timely?
They made them completely timely until December, and then the note got the servicing got transferred to Peak, and the first two payments on the pay history, which we don't exactly understand from Peak either, show that they paid a late fee. So I would say no.
Well, and that could have been part of the servicing transfer.
Yeah.
That could have been an issue from the servicing transfer.
Right.
So, if they made their payments timely up to a servicing transfer, 9 times out of 10, that's because there was a delay in the servicing transfer. And I can tell you, Pink a lot of times would take payments before the servicing transfer, and they may put them into an unapplied account and hold them there until they got the servicing transferred. And then we had to go back and tell them, you got to pull these payments out and post them. So that
right.
may be part of the problem on Pink's pay history.
I wouldn't hold that against them.
And, yeah, right. I wasn't sure. It did seem like it was exactly when it got transferred. And they paid, they never paid past the 11th any month for the first year and a half.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, but they probably sent the same payment in. And Peaks probably shorted their principal or interest to make it to charge the late charge. And this is probably one of their certificate charge. Sorry?
You said Peak took over the servicing on this in December?
The previous pay history went through December 1st.
So that's why. I can assure you that's why that payment may show it late. Show a late charge just because they didn't get it posted in time for the servicing transfer.
Charles, is there any way we can verify that with whatever you have online, that your portal online with Peak?
I mean, I can go back and look at it. But, I mean, we're looking at this pay history here. This is Peak's pay history. And
right.
So this is, you know, this is the way they posted the, I mean, this is the way they posted the payment. Now, did the payments due on, I'm not sure when the payments due on the 1st?
Yes.
And it's late after the 15th?
It's late after the 10th.
After the 10th.
Oh.
Yeah, so see, they're right here, they're 4 days late, okay? And again, going back to converting this land contract, and even if it was under the two-year probationary period, if the borrower requested to convert it to a note mortgage, I would not convert it just because they had a late payment, because I can tell you, not that it will ever go to court, but if it was something come up legal, they could say it was a servicer, and it, you know, and I can tell you 9 times out of 10 it'll come back to the servicer. So I would convert it if they requested to be converted.
All right, well, again, the land contract, this one doesn't say at their request. The actual land contract says the seller will convert it to a deed in mortgage if they make it past the probationary period.
So I would, you know, I would go ahead, if the way this one's reading, I would go ahead and convert that to a note mortgage. I mean, a note mortgage, you know, if you had to foreclose on it, that's not what you really want to look at here. You're looking at forming notes, these people pay like clockwork. So, you know, the chances of it ever going to foreclosure, you know, you hope that never happens. So that's not the way you want to look at when you're buying it. You don't want to look at when you're buying a performing note about it default. You're buying a performing note, that's what you want that note to do, is perform.
Right. Now, this note only has 72 months left on it. It was a very short, it was a 90-month note to begin with.
Oh, interesting.
Okay.
And everybody that we've talked to see how much it would cost us to convert this to a note and mortgage is telling us $1,000 to $1,200. NAA said $1,110. We talked to some title attorneys, and they were saying $800 to $900, not counting the recording fees. just the documents.
Well, yeah, and it's NAA, and that's accurate. We have, I mean, some of the RMLOs that we use, they charge up to $1,500 to do the note mortgage and to write it. So, you know, unless you had a local attorney that was a real estate attorney that could draw it up for you, you know, that, you know, that would, they might draw it up for you a little bit cheaper, but, or if you knew somebody like at a title company that would draw it up. And I mean, I have had title companies draw up documents like that for me in the past. But, yeah, you can, you know, this is something you go back to, okay, you'll convert to a note mortgage, but the, you know, the buyer has to understand that, you know, they, that's, a, you know, you're converting that to a note mortgage, but you can pass that on to the buyer, the fee. Now, is the buyer going to want to pay that? See, you could technically pass that fee on to your buyer.
So, Charles, if we, so when this gets to our servicer, can the servicer reach out to the borrower and acknowledge that they've successfully made their probationary period and ask them if they want it changed to a note and mortgage? And if so, they're, you know, they're responsible for the cost?
And that's what I would do. I'd have my servicer reach out to them and tell them that, you know, your probationary period's up. I'd be happy to convert this to a note mortgage at this time if you want to, or we can leave it as a land contract. If we convert it, there is a fee associated with converting it to a land contract.
So how would that fee be paid? Would it be an upfront fee, or would it be added to the loan, or exactly how would that work?
Whatever you want. Probably want to collect it up front.
Yeah. And that might detour them a little.
Good.
All right.
Now, since it's such a short-term note, they would probably just want to leave it as a land contract, honestly.
It's such a short note. I don't see the point in trying to change it, so...
Right, and our concern was if we had that cost, it eats in. I mean, it's a short-term note. There's profit in it, but there's not a lot of profit in it. If we had to pay $1,200 to record it, and
well, if you pass that fee on to the borrower, does it change how you feel about this note, or is it just the hassle of doing the conversion at all that you're trying?
No,
to
as long as we can pass it on to the borrower, that makes it work.
Okay. Right. I was just curious.
But then again, it's such a short-term note, I'm not sure the borrower would really care. You know, I mean, the borrower's paying like clockwork. You know, either way, they'll have it paid for in another, 6 years?
Right.
7 years?
Charles, if this were your note, would you make sure that you reached out to the borrower to let him know that the terms of the land contract call for it to be converted, or would you just... would it be okay just not to do anything and let the borrower reach out to us?
Well, I mean, honestly, I would probably have my servicer reach out to them. You know, I can tell you, Deborah, that I have notes that are past the probationary period that I have not reached out to them. It's never been an issue. It's never been an issue. But, you know, personally, I mean, if I was buying it myself, I'd have my servicer reach out to them and just ask them if they wanted to convert it or they want to leave it as a land contract. At least you made the option. You gave them the option to do it. Okay. A lot of times borrowers won't ever respond. You know, the other key is once you get them signed, to get the note mortgage drawn up is getting them to sign it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
Charles,
another
question. Does it have to come from our servicer, or can we just write them a letter and ask them?
You could write them a letter and ask them if you wanted to do that. You know, but you need to let your servicer know that you're going to reach out to them and see if they want to convert this to a note mortgage. But then again, just make sure, I'm not sure who you're going to use servicing it, but they may have somebody that can draw up the note mortgage for you as well.
We were thinking about moving it to Allied.
Okay, so Melissa will have somebody, I'm sure, that can convert it.
She's actually the one who said to Google a local a real estate attorney. Yeah, in Lexington.
Yeah.
Huh, yeah, that's up the street for me.
Maybe you could do it, Zuna.
I know, just drive over there. It's right over the river. It's crazy.
This is Lexington, Missouri, not Kentucky.
Well, then forget it.
Long drives. You got a long drive, Serena.
Hey, Orlando to here was good enough. Okay. Is that it? We had some good questions from Gail, which I think were answered, but I'm gonna readdress them. And she's asking if the conversion is mandatory or optional. And I'll say that you have to look into the way that the land contract is written. In this case, we're kind of positioning as an optional thing, kind of presenting the idea to the borrowers and saying, hey, you know, you're out of your probationary period. We can get this converted for you. But on this particular deal, the term is so short. It's not like it's a 30-year land contract. It might not even make sense to even the borrower to do that. I mean, they're almost done. They've got like 5 years left of payments. It doesn't really make a difference. But if this were 20 more years left on this thing, they might want to do that. For whatever reason, everybody has their own personal stuff. So in that case, if it's written into your paperwork, presenting the idea and being proactive about it instead of having your borrower come to you about it is the best case scenario. Hopefully that answers Gail's question.
Perfect.
Cool. Okay. Mr. Matt.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Thanks, Deborah. Thanks, Mark.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It. Appreciate
Bye,
it.
Guys.
All right. So that wasn't the best imitation I've ever heard, but it wasn't the worst.
I can do Eddie pretty well. I'm just kind of playing around. I got him after 4 years. I got him down. Trust me. Mike Rogers is asking, what's the downside if they don't convert to a note and mortgage? Are you asking from the borrower standpoint or you as the lender? Mike, I'm not sure where he's going with that question, but let's move on.
Well, there's really not a downside. If they, for the borrower, I mean, they pay the loan off, they're going to get the property. It's just, you know, the simplest term is just like a car title. When you buy a car, finance it, you get through making payments, they sign the title over to you. Same way with the land contract. So for the borrower, it's up to the borrower, but it's really not a problem if they don't convert it to a note mortgage. For the lender, same thing. I mean, the only way land contracts come in handy a lot of times is if you're unrecorded land contracts is if you have to foreclose.
Right.
And you can, if they vacate the property, it makes it simpler to go through a termination process. But so, you know, it's really not a downside. It's just whatever, you know, the borrower wants to do.
Cool. Okay, Keith Pionk. I saw him at the mastermind. Are you unmuting him, Matt? Is he talking?
He's unmuted if he wants to go ahead.
Yep. Okay. Hey, hi, guys. How you doing?
Hey.
So I have this note that I'm attempting to buy. It's kind of a unique situation, and I'm looking for ideas, you know, for pricing. The data is on there, just so Charles has it, and I think he's at remote, but the value of the asset's about $60,000. The UPB is $50,500. Presently, there's a 7% fixed rate on the note. 261 payments left, $377 payment. And where it comes, I hope this comes up okay. This is the payment history that Matt's trying to open, and it's kind of all over the board. The loan is also in bankruptcy. So there's about a, it started out with a $10,000 arrearage in 13, but if you look at this, it looks like they made a $3,000 payment back about the first of the year to try to get it back online. Yeah, you can see the third column over, that's the days deficient, and you can see from the bottom what Matt has up, it goes from 220 to 89 to 159, and that's all on one big payment.
Okay.
So then they got pretty current, and at this point in time, I think they are current, but it was a troubled loan. It went through two different modifications and a bankruptcy.
Yeah. This is not something you're looking to buy this, right?
Correct.
Okay. So, well, go ahead, Charles.
No, go ahead, Serena.
I was just saying that I just pulled up the numbers, just the numbers. I didn't have any history on this. So something like this, guys, you wouldn't, like on a performing loan, those of you who've gone through my pricing course, 12% is like the default. That's performing loan, it's fine. This one's got hair on it, as Eddie would say. So this one's gone through, Keith, you said two modifications.
Yep.
And a bankruptcy. So this is not something that you would price at a 12% rate. I'd probably start at like 15 and see what I can get from there. And if I still wasn't comfortable with the number, I'd keep going up until I was. So just kind of pulling up these numbers. Let's see. I'll make this bigger. Matt, can you switch to me right quick?
Keith, while she's doing that real quick, now the $55,000 UPB, that does not include the arrearage, correct?
No, $50,500, correct. It does not include the arrearage. That's correct.
Okay.
You're going to price it based off of the $50,500, and the arrearage account is going to be, the arrearage account is going to just be the gravy.
The kicker.
Yes.
A lot of times I've had note sellers come back and say, hey, I'm going to sell this BK loan, but I'm going to hold on to their arrearage account. But you know, just make sure you're getting their arrearage account too.
Oh right. Yeah. So just to show you guys, this is the power quarter delta, and I just put in Keith's numbers. I didn't have any history. I just kind of plugged them in. 261 on the term, so I just left it there, and then the unpaid balance of $50,500. This is what his price would be if he just went for a 12% yield, which I mentioned earlier, that's for a perfectly performing note. Nothing's wrong with it. So on something like this, you want to start at 14, 15% because there's a history of non-payment or a history of sub-performance on a loan like this. So if we just arbitrarily plugged in $15,000, the price you're looking for, Keith, is somewhere around $29,000 for this loan. Mm-hmm. Part of that is the sub-performance of it or the history of it. Maybe they want more. You maybe go down to like 14, which is just about $1,000 or $1,700.
We'll go up to 16. Go up to 16. See what that looks like.
16?
Yeah. 27,425. Yeah. And actually, I got it tied up at about $28,000.
Okay.
And there's about $500 probably in cost to close it too. So.
Yeah, so that's a 15 and a half or wherever
you're right on it, Keith.
Yeah.
Then keep in mind, and again, you're not taking into consideration you've got that arrearage count.
Right, that's and that works. That worked out pretty good. I did another BK loan, and actually bought it through the same source, and end up by the time it all transferred, I reached back out to the borrower and rolled everything over into one loan. The arrearage and the UPB, I re-amortized it out for him. It was an adjustable rate mortgage. I made it a fixed rate mortgage, and that worked out real good. By the time it was all done, it worked out to be about a 20% return. And then if they pay it off early, it's a little bit better.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you on the $28,000 price tag? Did you just throw that out to them, or did you crunch some numbers? Or
no, I crunched some numbers.
Oh, okay,
I crunched some numbers on it. That's kind of where I thought that I should be, but you know, we got this fancy platform. I figured it's a pretty good place to use it.
Yeah, no,
I was going to see that big old mic though.
You know what? This mic.
I noticed
she looked
like she was a movie star.
Oh yeah, I'm just doing it big around here. Yeah, that's where I would be, 15%. What you think, Charles?
Yeah, you're right on the money there, 15, 15 and a half. And Keith, you priced it pretty good.
He did.
Keith, is the trustee making their arrearage payments? Have they started making their arrearage payments? Just
Well, that's something I gotta figure out. I gotta actually reach back to the servicer because they give you limited information on some of the stuff, so it takes a lot of. This is not a Colonial product, so it takes a lot more effort and a lot more work to really get in and figure everything out. So
look, I've seen that $3,000 payment, and I just was curious if that was the borrower's payment or could that have been from the bankruptcy court?
Yeah, I'm not sure. If I was a betting man, I would think the bankruptcy court probably held it until they had a bunch and they say, oh, yeah, we should probably send this out.
Right. So,
is this something you're going to keep and hold?
Well, this is a note, in my opinion, if I can get it and I can get it all wrapped into one and put some seasoning on it, it would be a great note to make some money on selling a partial or even selling the note off.
Okay. Not bad. So you're buying this with the intention that you're going to eventually modify it or you're going to change something about it to make it more attractive?
Yep.
Cool.
And if I keep it in a portfolio, if it's kicking 15%, it's a little better than anywhere else.
Yep. Just not a little bit, a lot of bit.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm done.
Great. Mr. Matt. Appreciate it.
Charles. Well, first off, Serena is also on the member site, by the way.
Yeah. So someone asked, you know, where can they get this spreadsheet? I just switched it back over to you, Matt.
Yeah.
This is actually the Power Quarter Delta, which I have as a part of the pricing and evaluation course. Some of you guys already have a copy of this, but what I did was I changed Module 3. On performing notes like 2 weeks ago. It's really, really recent. So if you go to Module 3 on the website, it talks about pricing, and I put a copy of this Power Quoter there that you can download and use. So, boom, right there.
Definitely a great tool. If you haven't used it, go on there and give it a shot.
Scroll up, Matt, a little bit. Right there in bold. So you can get a copy of that. This is what I use in the course. If you haven't been through the course, well, it's still in this rough draft. So those links right there are all of the lessons, I guess you can call them, that I did with Joe on the Achievers Group. And there's six of them, well, seven really. And you could just go through and then use the Power Quoter and do some pricing. So there you have it.
Perfect. Charles, on the arrears, is there any legal language whenever he is purchasing this from the portal entity that he's buying from that he can make sure entitles him to the arrearage accounts on this?
Well, I just want to say he's buying this certain note in all arrearage accounts associated with it.
Would that be in the purchase sale?
Typically, it transfers. The arrearage account, they have to notify the trustee that you're transferring the ownership of the notes, just like a servicing transfer, but you have to notify the trustee that the servicing is transferring. What you want to make sure of is that your seller is not trying to keep the arrearage account, because I have seen that on occasion where the seller wants to keep the arrearage account and collect a little bit of the arrearages, and then they're just selling the note, which... you're only buying the note. And so when we were going through the pricing calculator, Mingo pricing this note, we priced it based off of Keith's UPB, which did not include the arrearage.
Right.
But we look at the arrearage, that's just great. You might just want to put your special provisions or something of your contract that you're buying the BK account and any arrearage account associated with this BK.
Okay, great, thanks.
And for those of you guys who don't know, an arrearage account has no interest. It's basically someone couldn't pay for 12 months or whatever, and all of the P&I and interest that accrued over that time, and then maybe they get a modification, but they owe you, you know, $10,000, let's say. An arrearage account would be, okay, we're going to modify your loan from here on in, but this $10,000, instead of putting it to the back of the account, we're going to create, like, basically a second payment for you, but there's no interest on that account. So don't, if you're pricing out a loan, price it based on what the loan is, not the arrearage, because the arrearage accrues no interest for you. So, just a tip. We're on a roll, I think.
All right. So, Charles, moving on, we have a question coming in from Keith, who you've reached out to, but we know that this was something that would be really good to share with everybody on the call. And it's about an asset that he was looking at buying, and he was buying it from a private party, and it's got 72 months of a 20-year note, which have 26 payments made of $500 a month of P&I. Now, the problem that he has found is that there is no note that he can find or to look at. So he looks at, like, the closing attorney might not have produced one. So what he does have is a HUD-1 deed of trust, the amortization schedule with details, which is not signed, for the $85,000 at 4%, $500 a month. So he said, I think if we had to foreclose, we could file suit on the deed. And he was wondering if that sounds correct. And what was... Now,
he might have a hard time because he can't produce a note. Okay, yeah. So when I talked to him, this is what I told Keith. When I talked to him, the amortization schedule was not signed. The deed was signed, but there was no note. And or not a copy of a note or a lost note affidavit. I mean, that's your security instrument. That's the note payable. So basically, you may have a mortgage, but you don't have a note. And mm-hmm. I told Steve that, you know, don't let them try to sell you the fact that you could foreclose on or file suit on the deed. Because I think in most states, that's not going to hold up. They're going to require the note. Because the first thing a judge will ask is, I want to see the note in the mortgage.
Yep.
So
now, I know he's not here, but is he saying that the HUD-1 and the deed of trust are not signed?
Now, the deed of trust and the HUD-1 were signed.
Okay.
The amortization schedule is not signed. That's what I thought at first, by the way he sent the question in. But the deed was signed. But but there is no note. And so just basically to answer Keith's question is, if somebody was trying to sell me a note mortgage and they didn't have a note, I wouldn't buy it unless I had a copy of the note with a lost note affidavit.
So on something like this, Charles, this would pop up when you're starting to do like direct mail campaigns to seller finance stuff.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point, Zarina. So
yeah.
You know, you'll probably see a lot of different types of scenarios or several scenarios when you're doing the direct mail campaign. So you always want to watch. I mean, Keith's a pretty sharp guy, so, you know, mm-hmm. Keith was going to definitely ask the question, but I don't know that you could actually foreclose on just a deed.
And it's not that they lost the note, it's that they never even produced one.
They right? never produced a note.
Okay.
So
if they had simply lost it, what would happen then?
Well, they could go back and create a lost note affidavit, and the seller would have to execute the lost note saying that he lost that the note was lost or somewhere during the transfer. When I buy notes based off of a lost note affidavit, I always require them to provide me with a copy of the note, at least have a copy of it.
Okay.
So I know that, you know, I mean, like this guy here, this seller here, he could go out there and just say, okay, here's the lost note affidavit signed, but he doesn't have a copy of the note.
Exactly.
And if this got to court and the borrower said, we never executed a note, then you got a problem. You know, I mean, I'm not saying people would fraudulently do that, but people will fraudulently do that. So, you know, if you're getting a lost note affidavit, I always recommend having a copy of that note.
Good. Whoops, I had questions up. I lost them. John Rootman is asked, wouldn't a lender's title insurance cover this problem?
If there was title insurance, keep in mind that many of these are seller finance notes, and there may not be title policies or title insurance.
Yes.
Typically, a lot of times sellers create a note, they don't get a title policy.
And usually when you want to get a title policy after the fact, you have to pay like a percentage of the unpaid balance or a percentage of what the note is or something like that?
It's usually your UPB.
UPB, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Or the remaining loaner.
Yeah. I think it's like 1% of the unpaid balance or something. So we're talking about somebody creating a title policy in the beginning for just a couple $100 versus you buying the note later or them selling the note later and having to pay, you know, $5,000 or $1,500 or whatever the case might be. So
significant. And it may be hard to get it insured. It might be hard to get a title policy or something after the fact. You may not be able to get the title policy.
Because it's just so messy.
I mean, if I was a title company, I probably would not write a policy on this.
You think?
Just saying. I wouldn't want to be insured there.
Yeah, but guys, you typically see this kind of stuff on seller finance deals, which is why you can usually buy them for really cheap because they're so messy. And on this particular one, we're not recommending that he does buy it because it's just, I mean, this is an unfixable problem, really. But if you saw something, seller finance, sometimes you might see a seller finance note for like 0%. This one's written at 4%, which is like bank financing. And I'm just assuming that this is seller finance, but if you see things like that, it's how it is. I mean, you're not going to find.
That's not saying you couldn't go back. I guess you could go back and have the borrower execute the note if the borrower would do that. Yeah, but if the borrower, I mean, you could go back and have an executed note, but then if the borrower catches on that you're. While we're having a note signed 3 years, 4 years down the road, they might think, no, I'm not going to sign a note, you know? So
only your borrowers would do that. I think Keiths are nice.
Oh, really? Okay. Okay. Why all the hate on my borrowers, Serena?
Because, I don't know. You wouldn't cut their grass for them or something. All right. I don't know.
That's right. What else, Matt?
You know, talking about your borrowers, Charles, I think there's a...
I like the
Huh?
I like our borrowers better, not my borrowers, our borrowers.
No, I think they're yours. No, I was kidding. We had another case study that we wanted to kind of bring to the table to show everybody something that NAA has done for us. So... I know that I'll go ahead and bring up the BPO, and I've got some of the numbers here on the screen of what we did with it. But I'll let you. I don't know if you wanted to go ahead and tell them about it.
So we've over the last few months, NAA has really become very involved with Note School. They service a lot of loans for us now. They service all my REOs. But they have a program. Their program is really pretty slick, and it's just a cradle to grave. You know, it's servicing, it's foreclosure, REO marketing, seller financing, and then creating a new performing note. And this was an REO that that we had, and it was, you know, the realtor came back, like there was a stagnant area, the property was needed work, and it did need some work, and so I sent this to NNA because I was like, okay, I got this property. And they tell me it's worth $11,000 or $18,000. And so I had the NAA go out there, and they said, you know, the house is not a bad house. They could spend some money. And, you know, the BPO, I believe, what was it repaired, Matt? 43, something like that?
Yeah, I'll get the actual.
I believe their repair value was 43. But
46.
Looking at the comps, they came back and they were using REO comps as comparables, and they were using short sale comps. So anytime a broker uses a short sale or an REO comp, that does drive the value of the properties down. And the benefit about using NAA is that, you know, they know this business. They've been in this space for a lot of years, so they know the value of property. And NAA went out and put a bandit sign and sold this property as is for 40, what was my sales price on it? $43,000, Matt?
It was
$43,500.
$43,500. Wow. Yep. So the borrower, so anyways, put $1,500 down, did it at 9.85 rate, and the borrower moved in, and, they're having to do the repairs. I mean, it needed repairs. The inside of the house had some mold that had to be cleaned, and sheetrock work, flooring, paint, carpet, pretty much.
Like a new house? Yeah.
Well, no, because NAA knows how to do it for it. It doesn't have to be a new house. But NAA didn't do any repairs. These borrowers bought it as is. And what the agent's telling me is going to be worth $11,000 or $18,000. NAA sold it for $43,000. They said, and again, they created a note, so that stagnant area might have been stagnant for a conventional finance type deal, because the home probably would never qualify for a conventional loan. And NAA was able to create a note, and now I've got a buyer and they're paying.
Very cool.
I was going to see if there are any inside pictures.
Questions?
Yeah.
Oh, inside pictures.
I was going to see. It's an REO, so I was going to double check.
Oh, yeah, there is inside pictures there, Matt. I believe the BPO did have inside pictures on it.
Oh, nice.
Hey, Charles, before we look in there, is there a picture of the toilet in these pictures?
No, did not get a picture of the toilet in this one here.
That's why it's sold. Oh, no, it is.
Look, it's clean. So when I see a clean toilet, I think that's not bad. The house looks pretty good. It needs some flooring and stuff. But there are some, as you go further down the pictures, it does get a little.
Yep, there we go. It's got a little paint and sheetrock there. So, Charles, what did NAA charge to do this, to service it, set it up, and all that good stuff?
The setup was $500. That's for the boarding fee and to go out and do the inspection and the signing on the property.
That's it?
That's it. And then there's a commission, and I'm not sure what their commission is on the sale part of it. But it may be like $1,200 or something. There's a fee once they create the note for you. There is a fee.
Okay.
And they service that and just do the servicing each month on that payment, correct?
Correct.
So is this a note that you're holding yourself, or is this something that you guys are going to sell?
No. This is Colonial. We'll season it.
We'll season
the note, and we'll eventually sell it.
Nice.
It's in one of our funds, so we'll season it 12, 18 months, and we'll sell the note.
Hey, Charles, should this asset look familiar to everybody?
No, actually it should, Matt, because this was one that I bought in 2014, and we've had it on a couple of tapes. And I think a lot of it was because, BPOs scare people off a lot of times. When you see it's a stagnant area, homes are all REO sales, and that's a stigma. In our business, we can't look at, a stagnant area, because when you're seller financing a note, you're creating the opportunity for somebody that couldn't qualify for a loan. And you're creating an opportunity for them to buy the house. And it is. And so, anyways, we had this, it's actually in foreclosure. It was a non-performing note for a while. And we foreclosed on it, and then we moved it back at the end of the year to NAA when we moved all of our REOs over. So they took the note. Got a buyer for it, and everybody's happy.
Okay.
We do have a hand up, I thought.
Matt, Eric has his hand up.
Yeah, I'm going to grab him real quick. I still had was responding. Eric, go ahead.
Hey, good evening, everybody. I have a couple questions for you, if you got a second. Charles, I talked to you a little bit about recording deeds at the Titanium event a couple weeks ago. And I'm getting started getting my deeds recorded, and I have a question. On the deeds, the special warranty deeds that you've created and sent to me, it says prepared by and returned to Catherine Burkhalter. And do I want those deeds returned to me? Should I write in the margin, return to my LLC, or
So here's the thing. They if they go back to Catherine Burkhalter, who's over Orion Financial, what happens, once those deeds come back to them, they verify that the deed has been recorded.
Okay.
And then they'll forward that deed to you. Some people will change that, and they'll have them come back to them. And I don't have a problem with that. You know, if you want to change it and have the deeds come back to you, that's fine. But make sure the deed's recorded. Okay, so here's what's happened is, you know, when they come back to Orion, Orion verifies that that they have actually been stamped in their recorder's mark on the deed. Sometimes when deeds are recorded or sent back to people, to the buyers, like you or I, they got the deed back, they stick it in a folder, and they don't realize it has not been recorded. It could have been rejected.
Yes.
And there's no recording stamp. So if you have the deed returned to you, make sure that that the deed is recorded when it returns to you, because here's what's happening is that we've got about 10 properties we've sold in the last year that people have not recorded their deeds. Some of them have lost these properties to tax sales because they've never been notified, because tax notes come back to us. And we mail them out, and so if a deed's not recorded, it's not going to be in your name. So you could lose it to a tax sale. So you got to make sure that deed is recorded. I don't have a problem with you sending it back to you, but that's the reason it goes back to our custodian. It's because they want to confirm that the deed did in fact get recorded and the title was transferred.
Okay.
That's a very good question. I'm glad you brought that up. It's a good question.
Yeah, if it fails to be recorded because of some technicality, it'll go back to your custodian, and then will they take it from there and make sure it gets recorded?
Well, that's the other thing, because our custodian prepares the deed. So if it was to come back unrecorded, and it was because there was an error in the legal description or it was an error on their part, then the custodian would re-prepare that deed, correct it, and then they'd send it back to you a second time to record.
Okay. All right. So I know of, I did call the county on one, and the county said that the grantee's name and address must be on the deed, and the custodian put my name but not my address. So I have one that I am pretty sure will be rejected based on their criteria. What should I do with that deed?
Well, should if it comes back, we'll send that back over and have them correct it.
And send it again.
This is the deed that Colonial prepared to your company, and we'll have a custodian correct it. I recently purchased a property myself in Indiana, and they rejected the deed 3 times.
Okay. All right. So you're saying
it's really frustrating. Every county is different. Just to email and just let us know if it comes back. Just let us know that the deed has to be corrected.
Okay. So I should go ahead and mail it into the county, and then it'll probably just get sent back.
If you haven't mailed it yet, I would probably go ahead and just verify with the county what they're going to require.
Okay.
And then just send an email to the post closing, and we will notify Orion that the county is requiring the grantee or grantor's address on here, and they'll call and confirm it, and then they'll send it back. But either you can call the county over and over and still get your deed rejected. Every time my deed was rejected, I called the county personally. I said, okay, this is what you told me last week or 2 weeks ago. Now why have you last time they held it for over a month before they rejected. So I thought it had been recorded, and then it comes back and says, no, it needs to go this address. I said, that's not what you told me. I have my notes written down. This is what you told me. So it just depends. If you don't talk to the same person in the office, you may get a different answer every time you call.
Okay.
So I always ask for the name, a contact name in that office. Who am I speaking with? And I write that name down.
Okay. Very good. I will follow your instructions. All right. Thanks, guys. Cool. Have a good night.
You're welcome.
All right. Yeah, it's amazing how many different answers you get. Even if you call back, you get hung up on and you call back and you're in the middle of one answer and you get a completely different one.
How are y'all talking to these clerks that they're hanging up on you? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, well, they
don't hang up on me, Zarina.
They don't hang up on me either. Just hang up on Matt.
Well, I think it's my fault. I had to stop using my cell phone because, you know, here in Denver, they don't really have good phone service. Anyway. For me, I've been where I live, anyway. So,
I still use soup cans.
He's still got that flip phone. That's what it is.
He's got that flip. That's right. That flip phone don't work very well. What else we got, Matt?
Well, today is the 30-day out for the Summer Summit.
Ah. Okay.
Right. What's happening one day, 1 month from today?
1 month from today.
1 month from the day we're going to be having
Dyke Bonifers.
Yeah, Dyke Bonifers class. So, and I can go ahead. Do y'all want to look at the video that David Finolio and Mr. Speed put up, or do we want to just talk about it, or how did y'all want
to
handle that?
Do we really have to look at both of them?
I don't think we've shown this. When will it work? Will it work?
Oh, it'll work. But yeah, I mean, So if you give me
let's do it.
I can't believe they didn't break the camera with both of them being. But maybe it was a double negative, you know.
No comment.
Y'all make sure y'all edit that out of the call.
Hey, I'll do the editing, so I can if I need to.
Take that out of the call.
Yeah, really. Give me a second. It's coming up.
Oh, somebody's asking when's the registration deadline for the Summer Summit. That's a good question.
Hey, guys.
Registration is coming up.
Sorry.
We want to talk about the Dyke Spotterford class. It's going to be a...
If you want to go ahead and finish that, and then I'll let you. Whatever you want to do.
Yeah, we haven't set the deadline. The deadline will be coming up probably here in the next couple of weeks. So you want to go ahead and get registered. Again, we don't want to wait till the last minute to register because we have to have a head count for the hotel and the accommodations and everything. So it really makes it easier for us if we have a head count ahead of time, but we'll probably start finalizing everything here in the next couple of weeks. Like I say, we're a month away, so we've got a good attendance also. I mean, we've got a good registration for the Dyke Spotterford class. There are still seats available, so if you haven't registered, please do so. Preferably this week would be great because that way we'll have a pretty good head count of who's coming on that Thursday.
A one-day class on entity creation, not only tax implications, but asset protection. He's a brilliant guy. All of us are going to learn something from that. The cost of that is $250 or $200 for a guest or a spouse. Now, all proceeds are going to go to the Child Welfare Board of Montague County. Dave Finolio, you're going to take us to Fort Worth that night.
Yes, exactly. We're going to have a great afternoon. We'll provide the transportation. We'll take you to the historic stockyards. There's a lot of sightseeing to be done there. Then we'll have a great barbecue meal by the best barbecue in Fort Worth, Texas, Billy's Oak Acres Barbecue. And we're going to be entertained by humorist cowboy Chad Prater. Please come out and join us. We're
going to
have a great time. We'll see you there.
Never seen their mouths move that slow ever.
So,
yeah. So there will be a barbecue following that night in Fort Worth. Renowned famous place in Fort Worth for barbecue. So definitely want to see you there.
And we did have a question come up about how to register. So I'll go ahead and there's on the calendar for in the Note School member site, there is a calendar that you can click on. So if you go to the help contact, is that correct? No, it's not help contact. It's the help contact. No, sorry, events. Sorry. Connect to the events. and then go down to the calendar. So next month, you can click over to June. And then if you just click on the Summer Summit here, there is a spot that you can register here, as well as bring a guest and register them as well for the Summer Summit. So that's one option that you have, as well as the if you just go to the noteschool.com/summer-summit, all one word, /, that'll take you to the promo page, which has a register tab on it also. Again, that's noteschool.com/summer-summit.com, and I will put that in the comment button there for you, Martin, so that you have it. So, but that's one place you can go, and it tells you about everything that's going on also. Charles?
Cool.
Hey, Charles, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
How often are you in and out of the office?
How often am I in and out of the office? Quite a bit.
And
I was out this past week.
Yeah, you were out half the week and in meetings and doing other stuff outside of the office. And I know from Thursday afternoon until this morning, I was out of the office. And then, of course, my internet went down and I had to use Hotspot. And it's been a whole bunch of fun. But the reason I'm pointing that out is that we're having a common issue with a lot of people who are sending emails in. So we have these group emails for content, for trade desk, for offering, for post-closing, because those emails go to a group of people who are qualified or specifically tasked with answering those type of questions. And so, like, whenever either, like, for instance, Serena is out of the office or out of her office, or Charles is out of the office there in Dallas, or I'm out of the office here, or something happens, if I respond to something personally, or Charles does, and there is a group email attached to that, if you don't respond to everybody, you might not get a timely result on your email. And we're just trying to not really kind of harp on that, but we're trying to really show the benefits.
Yes, we are.
I was trying to be nice about it.
Just give it to them straight. That's what I do.
If
hit reply all.
Yeah, because you might not get a response. Like, for instance, I was out of the office, and I know I had a couple of people email me personally on some stuff we were talking about. I didn't respond until today. And it's kind of one of those things of I didn't respond today until later because my email went down. So it's kind of like if you would have gotten a response earlier if you had emailed the group email was there. So we put those kind of check marks in place for a reason. Just in case somebody goes out or something happens, you do have a lot more people looking at that than just the one person, as well as it might be a question that I may not know the answer to or may not want to feel comfortable with answering. And it's something Charles may say, hey, Matt, let me answer this. And he goes in and he already has the answer. So it's very beneficial. So please, if you see a post-closing or content or anything attached to the email, please email or CC all or reply all, because that way you get the most amount of people's eyeballs on that, so you can get the best and quickest answer possible. That was my rant.
Pretty good.
That was your rant. That's how you do it. You did it so nicely.
That's a good rant. Good rant.
He's very nice. He really was.
So Zarina or Charles, have either of y'all seen the schedule?
No, I have not.
And Sunday,
the Summer Summit?
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
The agenda, the agenda was in the process. We're going to have some great panels and speakers there. But the agendas, we're working on the agenda. We should have that ready to go here pretty quick as well.
Cool.
And the 5th is actually a Sunday, which the am I right or wrong, is the 5th actually just the Rich Rewards class, or is the Summer Summit also going through to Sunday also?
No, it's
Sunday's just the class.
Right, okay. So
Sunday's just the Rich Rewards class on Sunday.
Okay, Dave, I don't know if you meant Saturday or if you meant Sunday, but yeah, just to confirm that, Sunday is just the end of the 3-day class. It's going to start on Friday. So
So.
Well, Zarina, we appreciate you joining us tonight. It's great to see you.
You're welcome. I'll pop on here often now that I'm up here. Yeah, I might be on next week, or not next week, tomorrow, and then we'll see.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good deal.
Cool.
Well, everybody, we appreciate you joining us. Everybody have a great evening. I think that's it, right, Matt?
That is it. But right before we leave, Martin, send that into content at Note School, and we will get an answer or get you on the call to answer that. That's all I got.
Excellent. All right, guys. See ya.
All right. Good night, everybody. See you next week.
Good night.
Good night.
Okay, bye.